This is Growing Native, and I'm Petey Mosquitie. It's a wet monsoon, and like every monsoon I can remember, it's hit and miss. I don't think I was very aware of monsoon when I first came to Arizona over 50 years ago. Go to college, have a girlfriend, smoke pot, play some music, go home to Kentucky on breaks, right? But after a couple years of that, I started to stay year-round. And come to think of it, a lot of that stuff stayed the same. But I was in Southern Arizona year-round, and of course, that's what you got to do if you want to get to know a place, get a sense of a place, you know. And after a while, you get a sense of a place, and it's the weather, it's the culture, it's the flora, it's the fauna, and you got to be here year-round to get it. You get the monsoon after you've done April, May, June, and once I got it, I mean, how glorious was that? Oh, my goodness. Well, then I kept getting it, right? Because monsoon has history, has culture, water flowing in a semi-arid landscape, flora and fauna stimulated by monsoon moisture, indigenous people using monsoon water. And more in modern times, a lot of folks capture or slow down monsoon water for their habitats. Imagine my shock, though, as a kid from northern Kentucky, at first seeing the Rialto River or the Santa Cruz River. You know, and I'm going, oh, that's not water, that's sand. I'm talking sand here. I'd write home and make fun of our Tucson rivers. I was a snooty, water-spoiled kid from Kentucky, where creeks and rivers flowed. Somewhere in that second year, a conversion started. I became a believer, and monsoon became a part of my belief system. I'm not done converting, but I guess sometime in 1969, a door opened, and in lucid moments, I saw the light of semi-arid ecosystems, the light of the desert, the light of the sky islands, the light of winter drizzles, spring wildflowers, summer heat, summer monsoon, and arroyos roaring. The cool thing about converting is that it never stops, as in, I'm Petey Mosquitie, and I'm learning about the borderlands, but I'm not quite done yet. I'm sorry. That's all I got to say. It's enough pontificating. Anyway, we've gotten some monsoon water, and maybe we'll get more. I'm sorry. Okay. Some of my favorite plants and animals, of course, come out in the monsoon, stimulated like you and me, right? I love the native sennas of the borderlands. Along the monsoon-lush roadsides near us, the rich green foliage of the slender pod senna with bright yellow flowers atop tall stems. I believe its current botanical binomial is a senna, from an Arabic word, senna, hirsuta, hairy, variety glaberrima, meaning completely hairless. So it's hairy but hairless. Senna hirsuta, variety glaberrima. Very cool. Over near Bisbee, I see senna lindheimeriana, velvet touch. Love to touch the velvet leaves of that plant. I love it. But listen, Senna wislizenii, the woody, shrubby wislizenesses, Senna, oh my goodness. In July, August, the slopes and mesas of the Mule Mountains have huge blasts of bright yellow from the blooming woody Senna. Oh my. And the bright yellow flowers are visited by sonicating bees. Bees that land on the flowers, they buzz, they vibrate, and stimulate the anthers to explode with pollen. Is that cool? It's very cool. That's only one story, but that includes many species of sonicating bees. Cinnas, by the way, are the larval food. Here's another story. The larval food of some of the sulfur butterflies, like the cloudless sulfur. Butterflies have great common names, the little yellow, the sleepy orange. But while you're watching bee species buzz for pollen on the flowers, you may see the larva of a cloudless sulfur munching on its leaves and flowers. Oh, yeah, a lot happening. When monsoons hit the desert sennas bloom, bees sonicate, butterfly larvae gobble their host. It's magical, my friends. It's really quite beautiful. The monsoon is magical, and the monsoon is beautiful. Yeah, it is. Hey, I'm Petey Mosquitie, and this has been Growing Native.